Case this morning, United States versus Ortiz.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court. My name is Gal Pisetsky, Counsel. This case, Your Honors, involves a charge of attempt possession with intent to distribute a controlled substance, and as the plea agreement stated, the substance and the S was in parentheses. The controlled substance that Mr. Ortiz in this case is not disputing at all is marijuana. The only question, the only dispute is regarding the cocaine. Thus, in this case, there were two distinct drugs involved that, depending on their amounts or weights, carry very different mandatory maximum sentences. Also, this is not a conspiracy case, but rather an attempt charge. The conspiracy charge was dismissed by the government, and so the conspiracy laws do not apply in this matter. So it is Mr. Ortiz's position that Judge Kendall erred in her Apprendi analysis during the bench trial when she made her ruling on the question, and that is a quote, Your Honors, did the defendant aid and abet that deal, which she then analyzed under USA versus Guerrero Martinez. The real issue at trial was because Mr. Ortiz pled guilty to an attempt charge and two distinct drug types and amounts were involved. The issue was, did the government prove beyond a reasonable doubt that Mr. Ortiz should be held accountable for the cocaine as required by Apprendi? When two drug types are involved, the statutory maximums sentences are different. Here it's cocaine and marijuana. And when the maximum is different, then of course the mandatory minimums change. And here the difference in the mandatory minimums was significant.
Well, didn't count two also have aiding and abetting?
Well, that is a good question, and I submit to Your Honor that it did not, and I think the government would agree with me, since Mr. Ortiz pled guilty to the attempt and not to aiding and abetting, and the government submit that in their memorandums as well. Their argument is that he pled guilty as the principal. And even if it has the aiding and abetting, the way the district court judge analyzed the issue here, it was analyzed under 1B1.3, which is a sentencing factor. When Judge Kendall held that there is no dispute that the deal for Jabari Williams and the undercover agent was for that amount, meaning 7 kilos of cocaine and 135 pounds of marijuana, she did not say Jabari Williams and Mariano Ortiz. Legend Kendall phrased the issue. So the question is, did the defendant aid and abet that deal? And then further, on October 23rd, 2009, when this case was continued to, Judge Kendall concluded, therefore, the entire transaction was part and course and conduct and aided and abetted deal that he had knowledge of this larger conduct. And the issue, the way that the judge ruled on those issues, was based under the guideline question of 1B1.3 as she described in the case that the judge quoted, which is USA versus Guerrero-Martinez. Moreover, Your Honors, the government in their submissions to you also said and believed that the issue before the judge was a sentencing factor. And there's a big difference between sentencing factors and a bench trial of beyond a reasonable doubt on an Apprendi issue. We disagree with the process that the district court had because this was an Apprendi trial phase, or what would could be called a phase of an Apprendi trial, and we disagree specifically with the way that it was analyzed through 1.3, or that it was a sentencing factor. At sentencing, the burden of proof cannot be beyond a reasonable doubt, no matter what the parties agree to. It's preponderance of the evidence. This plea agreement here specifically stated that the burden of proof is beyond a reasonable doubt. And the only way to interpret that burden of proof in the plea agreement is to interpret it clearly that it was an issue relating to Apprendi and not a sentencing issue, an issue relating to the mandatory maximums, which also relate to the mandatory minimum. I would submit to Your Honors that had the judge felt that she had the discretion, she would have not sentenced Mr. Ortiz to the 10-year mandatory minimum in this case. And she, I believe, clearly stated it in her ruling. And so we can compare this issue during a jury trial, had it been before a jury, where the jury would have received two different verdict forms. One verdict form, which is a general verdict form of whether the government proved Mr. Ortiz guilty beyond a reasonable doubt to count two. And if the answer is yes, which is the equivalent of this guilty plea, then the jury would have had to receive a second verdict form, which we would call a special verdict form. And there, the issue would be that the government proved beyond a reasonable doubt that there are two distinct drug types and drug amounts. And since an attempt charge is not a conspiracy charge, Mr. Ortiz should not be lumped together with the co-defendant Jabari Williams with the dealings with the undercover agent. Williams admitted when he testified that he was the principal of the deal, that he was going to sell Mr. Ortiz the drugs for profit. They were not partners. It was his deal. And by the way, he was extremely he was impeached and untruthful and admitted it on the stand. He admitted that he would not have a problem lying to a federal judge. Count two charges the defendant only. If
doesn't
you read
make
it,
him unique, you know.
Excuse me?
Doesn't make him unique.
You're right. Count two charges the defendant only. If you read the plea agreement, the only person who is charged in count two, it says count two charges the defendant with knowingly attempting. Does it say defendant M. Jabari Williams? It does not even mention him. Had the jury listened to the facts in this case, as Judge Kendall did, they would have had a choice to mark the special verdict form whether or not Mr. Ortiz is liable or responsible for the cocaine, and separately, if he was liable or responsible for the marijuana. The marijuana, the answer would have been yes. According to the facts, to the cocaine, it would have been no. Judge Kendall did not analyze this matter under the right burden of proof and under the right analysis as described in Apprendi. Thank you, Your Honor.
Mr. Dale.
May it please the court, I'm Yusef. I'm Yusef Dale on behalf of the Appellee United States Council. The district court did do the proper analysis under Apprendi. Apprendi is merely a burden of proof case. Apprendi has nothing to do with different types or different amounts. The district court made it clear that it was making its determination of the types and amounts of controlled substances involved in the offense to which defendant pled guilty on a beyond the reasonable doubt standard of proof. The district court noted that the only evidence on the types and amounts of controlled substances involved in count two of the indictment, the offense to which defendant pled guilty, were 7 kilograms of cocaine and 135 pounds of marijuana. The defendant argues, mentioned a point about the judge mentioning Guerrero-Martinez and that her analysis was wrong because she mentioned Guerrero-Martinez, but that is absolutely false. The judge mentioned Guerrero-Martinez in 1B1.3. She was required to do that because she had to make two determinations at sentencing. She had to make her determination on the types and amounts under Apprendi, under a beyond a reasonable doubt standard of proof, which is the statutory provision which provides the ceiling and the floor, the maximum and the minimums. And then she also had to make her analysis under the guidelines. And under the guidelines, it is relevant. 1B1.3 is relevant, and Guerrero-Martinez is relevant because the defendant, in a couple of his pre-sentence submissions, had mentioned the fact that the drugs, the cocaine, was not foreseeable, unquote, quote unquote, to his client, to the defendant. So the judge did have to engage the analysis of not only the Apprendi findings and the floor and the ceiling, but also the guidelines analysis to set the guidelines range. And so the judge did both things at the sentencing hearing. She just didn't do one thing. And that's why Guerrero-Martinez in 1B1.3, and the judge, of course, knew that she was talking about Guerrero-Martinez in 1B1.3. She mentioned the Guerrero-Martinez finding, and she mentioned 1B1.3 in that discussion, which clearly evidences that she understood what she had to do. That is, she had to make a guidelines analysis, and she had to make an Apprendi finding. The defendant also mentioned in his argument that we would agree with that he did not aid, or some to the effect that we don't agree. We agree that count two doesn't include an aiding and abetting provision. It most certainly does include an aiding and abetting provision, and the government does not agree that defendant did not aid and abet the crime. Defendant pled guilty as a principal to the attempt, which of course it made it null and void that he also aided and abetted the crime, but he did aid and abet the crime by virtue of his principal participation in the offense. So we don't concede anything with respect to aiding and abetting. It was in count two of the indictment. It was there as a notice provision to let defendant know that not only did you participate as a principal, but you also aided and abetted the offense along with your co-defendant. And of course, it's impossible for somebody to be a principal and participate in offense with a co-defendant, but not aid and abet in that crime. So he did aid and abet. The offense to which he pled guilty, and significantly, the factual basis does spell out exactly what he pled guilty to. He said, I agreed with my co-defendant to travel from Michigan to Illinois for the purpose of participating with my co-defendant in the purchase of the controlled substances that were in Illinois. Before leaving, we separated the sum of money that would be used in the purchase of those controlled substances that we would be purchasing in Illinois. I knew at all times that the money in my car was going to be used together to purchase, together with the other money that was in the other car, that approximately $20,000 was going to be used in the purchase of those controlled substances, and that I was going to receive a portion of the controlled substances, which I was going to then distribute. So the factual basis sets out exactly what happened, and that is defendant worked together with his co-defendant. They traveled from Michigan to Illinois, 250 miles, and they were going to purchase some controlled substances, divide them, and then distribute them. Defendant, just to briefly address the second point in defendant's argument, he mentioned something about his argument mentions the aiding and abetting. And, I want to cover one more thing on the first point, Your Honor, and that's that control, just so we're clear, like I said before, Apprendi has nothing to do with the types and amounts. It has to do with the burden of proof. and defendant seems to be separating the cocaine and the marijuana, but the district court properly determined that the types and amounts involved in count two were both cocaine and marijuana. And there's no mens rea that goes that the defendant doesn't have to know or intend that those amounts were involved. They just have to be involved. Mens rea goes to controlled substances. The mental state requirement goes to controlled substances. It does not go to the precise types and amounts of controlled substances. As this court has held, those are not elements of the offense. They are sentencing issues. And defendant also suggests that, and I didn't see this, and I think he's waived this argument, I didn't see this in his opening brief, but he said something about the sentencing hearing, the standard of proof can't be beyond a reasonable doubt. But of course, the express terms of the plea agreement, defendant agreed in writing that the court would make those findings at sentencing and applying the beyond the reasonable doubt standard of proof. That's exactly what he held. That's exactly what the defendant agreed to, I should say, that those would be made at sentencing and applying the beyond a reasonable doubt standard of proof, which is exactly what the court did. And aiding, just one more thing, aiding and abetting, of course, we didn't have to prove anything with respect to aiding and abetting. Aiding and abetting is a substantive idea, the idea that a defendant can be held accountable as a principal if he aids and abets. We didn't need to prove aiding and abetting because the defendant pled guilty to the attempt. And, of course, you can't aid and abet an attempt. So we didn't have to prove his guilt, his substantive guilt as to those elements because he admitted those when he pled guilty to the substantive offense. So we had no burden of proof or proof with respect to the elements of the underlying offense. If there's no further questions from the panel, I'll sit down.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Dale.
Thank you, Your Honor. It appears that the government, once again, is calling this plea agreement and uses the plural as controlled substances. Mr. Ortiz did not plead guilty to controlled substances. This was in the hands of the court to prove beyond a reasonable doubt. I'm not really clear, then, if the Apprendi does not have anything to do with types and amounts. What does Apprendi have to do then with in a situation where we're talking about a drug case when there are two distinct drugs and two distinct amounts? What is it there for? If the jury finds guilty in a general verdict form that Mr. Ortiz was guilty, then there is no reason for the Apprendi. But that's not what our Supreme Court said. Our Supreme Court said that when there are two different types and amounts when that change the mandatory maximums, then there's got to be a determination, especially when you're speaking about an attempt case, not a conspiracy case, where a defendant can be lumped together with the group of people that he's working here with. Attempt cases are different, and I believe they are. It's an issue of first impression. I couldn't find a case that talks about an attempt, Your Honor. Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you, counsel. Thanks to both counsel. The case is taken under advisement. We move to the final case this morning. United States versus Sagar.